of Morning Outliers. Welcome to today's Outlier Live, where we cover the biggest headlines of the day and what the AI trading data has to say about it. Our top story of the day is one of the sharks is saying that what's happening to Trump is the worst thing that could possibly happen, basically for America. If we don't fix what's happening to the once and future president, Donald Trump, we might be breaking America all at once, right? Our second story of the day is, speaking of Trump, Trump just got even more richer. If you can believe it, dude is still making money hand over fist, and he just got a whole heap and helping full, Scrooge McDuck style, of more cash in the bank. And lastly, State Farm Insurance Company. I actually used to work at State Farm. State Farm Insurance Company has decided to screw over the second most populous state in the United States. So we're going to be talking about all that and more on today's Outlier Live. All right, our top story of the day. Kevin O'Leary, one of the sharks from Shark Tank, is saying, well, he's warning that the New York Trump fraud case is concerning financial markets around the world. Now, we're going to play this video here in just a second, but I want to preface this by saying that Kevin O'Leary is an incredibly wealthy man. And incredible wealthy men like him and Trump, they run in the same circles. And for him to take this stance and to say that what they're doing to Trump, this political witch hunt that they have put on Trump, is basically saying that this is bad for all of America in general, right? We need to fix the problem. And the problem is not Donald J. Trump. The problem is how his political opponents are weaponizing the justice system against him in an effort to stop him from being the 2024 presidential electorate. I guess is the right word for it. The soon to be president once again. And watch channel DE. Good morning. Thank you so much for watching live. Let's jump right into the video and see what Kevin has to say. Okay. This is the part that I really want to get to, the whole seizing properties thing. So just to give you a little bit of context. So Trump was found guilty in a fraud case in New York. Now, this is such political witch hunt because what they found him guilty was overvaluing his assets in order to get loans. So, for example, let's say that my house, I say that I need to get a loan on that house and I'm putting my house up for collateral. And I say it's worth $1 million. And the bank comes in and they're like, well, we've done an inspection, we've done an analysis, and we feel like, you know what, it's not actually worth $1 million. We'll give you a loan for $700,000. That's what we're going to use your house as collateral to secure, right? That's the gist of it. The bank still got their money back from Trump on that lower loan value that they assessed it for, right? It's not that he went out and committed all this incredible perjury and fraud and just outright lying to everybody. No, he said, hey, my building's worth this. The bank said, okay, we see you claim your building's worth this. Our assessment is it's worth a little bit less. We're going to give you a loan on the little bit less, and we're going to call it a day. But somehow, Letitia James and the New York State went against Trump in the amount of $454 million, like nearly half $1 billion in, quote, fraud. But the thing is, he didn't defraud anybody. The bank got paid. The bank made the loan based on what the bank assessed the value at. But they're trying to say that him inflating the value of his properties to get these loans was the fraud. Are you serious? Right? If that's the case, every single person who's ever sold a home is now guilty of fraud because they said it was worth this much, but they ended up selling it for that much. That's the same, exact same situation here. And so that's what Kevin O'Leary's problem is. And that's why he's taking such a vocal stance on it. Is it's like, look, if you're going after Donald Trump, you're not going to have anybody left. You're not going to have anybody who wants to do business whatsoever, period, in New York because of this type of attitude. By doing this, you're sending all business out of New York, or you're potentially sending all business out of America. Let's finish this up here. So yeah, that's the point here, is that they're trying to seize his assets. Basically, the moment the ridiculous, absolutely preposterous judgment was declared, they were like, hey, you got like 2 weeks before we're going to start seizing your assets. And to Kevin O'Leary's point, it's like, generally you have years to work around this stuff, right? He's not even allowed to go to appeals court until he posts a $454 million bond in cash. In cash. They're not even going to give him like the 10% or whatever when it comes to like a bail bondsman, which I don't know that world. But if you do, please enlighten me on it. But they're trying to do that in order to stop him from having campaign finance funds, to stop him from being on the campaign trail. And basically, they're trying to hamstring him up and say, nah, we're going to do everything we can to just keep you off the ballot. So our zombie who is running can actually somehow manage to take the nominee and somehow take the presidency one again, even though he's going to be like 704 by the time his second presidency would be ending. So look, in my opinion here, I think Kevin O'Leary is completely right. This is a horrible look for New York. It's a horrible look for America in general. And we need to get this together, right? This is not a third world banana republic where we're just going to come seize your assets when we don't agree with you. We're going to arrest our political opponents. They sure are acting like it. So I want to take a look at what the AI trading data has to say about the S&P 500, right? When we talk about America and we talk about the American economy, of course, looking at the S&P 500 is definitely the first place that I like to look at, right? And in fact, we actually got a sell signal on February 20th. We got a sell signal. So right now, the market's been drifting a little bit higher, but I definitely would be putting my big boy pants on and saying, you know what? We've had quite a run in the market lately. I might be looking to sell some shares. I might be looking to go to cash because right now, with all of the craziness that's going on in the world and the fact that the AI trading data right here is giving you a heads up, like flashing red light, hey, it's a sell signal. Now may be time to go to cash. In fact, if you want to follow these signals, Outlier has shown a 71.85% return following these signals. So they seem to be working pretty well. Be sure to head over to outlierdeal.com. We've got about 2 weeks left on a lifetime deal to get access to Outlier that will never, ever be offered again. And it's basically for 99% off. So be sure to head over there real quick. Now let's see what the internet has to say about this, right? Trump can't secure the $454 million appeal bond in New York fraud case. That's what his lawyers are saying. So this is exactly what we've been talking about, right? He needs to secure basically that much in cash, but no company is actually like, no way, we're not putting up $454 million. It's just not going to happen. So let's see what people have to say about this. This person says, I thought he was a billionaire. Yeah, dude, he is a multi-billionaire. And in fact, he just got a little bit richer. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. He is a multi-billionaire, but that doesn't mean he has that in his bank account, bro. Clearly, Jack is not a wealth planner or a wealthy individual, because Jack would know that if he were a billionaire, he wouldn't be keeping billions of dollars in his checking account at Chase, right? Just like legitimately, come on, Jack. When the entire system is corrupt. Let's see. Let's look at one more reply here. He's good for it. We promise. We'll see, right? They knew this would happen with the size of the fine that it was, right? That was exactly the point, that they made it that big. They made it that big on purpose, right? And this is funny. Eric is saying, all the poor lefties thinking they understand how cash and assets work is funny. Yeah, that kind of goes back to what this guy is saying right here. Yeah, he is a billionaire, but he doesn't keep $1 billion in his checking account there, Jack. So we just talked about Trump being a billionaire. Trump Social parent company, Trump Media and Technology Group, to become publicly traded company. So the stock will be called DJT on the NASDAQ. So you can't trade it yet, but it should be coming out pretty darn soon. So what do you think about this? Let me know in the comments. I'm genuinely curious how you feel about this, right? I mean, my mind immediately went to like Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all those competitors in that sphere, Twitter. And I thought to myself, how is this going to work, right? Like legitimately, how many people are on this platform? How many people are using this? Is it just Trump tweeting out to his followers? Is basically what everything that I've seen from True Social has just been like news places, you know, screen capping Trump's posts. Like, how many people are actually on this platform? I'll tell you what, it doesn't really matter all that much because Trump holds 78.7 million shares of the Trump Media and Technology Group, and his personal stake in the company is going to be worth approximately $3 to $4 billion with the stock price at about $44. So what we just said is Trump just found himself $3 to $4 billion in cash if he wanted to sell it, right? But there is a 6-month rule on Trump shares, 6-month lockup rule, but the board could vote to waive that. So the funny thing is, New York is trying to steal basically $454 million from Trump. And Trump's like, watch this. And he comes out and he's like, oh, I'll just take, you know, between $3 and $4 billion. So here's your cut. Go F off. That's what he's going to tell New York. And then he's going to go and win the presidency once again. So I find this incredibly interesting, right? The merger brings True Social, which describes itself as a free speech platform and a safe harbor from censorship on other big tech platforms, approximately $300 million to expand the platform, right? So True Social is going to get $300 million in cash to work on the platform. We set out to create a safe haven for free speech on the internet, which is needed now more than ever. And we believe that the merger will allow us to expand this movement even further. If you want to sound off outside the control of big tech censors and suppressors, True Social is the place for you. So I'm genuinely curious, like, how many users they actually have, what their actual engagement is like. I don't use a whole lot of social media these days. I have found it to be not productive to me and my family life. In fact, where I decided to just delete all the social platforms on my phone was when my kids were trying to talk to me one day. And I found myself just like scrolling. Yeah. Okay. Scrolling. Yeah, sure. Whatever. Scrolling. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I ignoring my children? Maybe I should put the phone down and listen to my kids. So either way, Trump is about to be a multi-billionaire once again, thanks to True Social. And that whole ridiculous fine that New York has imposed upon him, it's about to be disappeared. Speaking of things that I think are about to be disappeared, I want to talk about Snapchat, right? Take a look at the AI trading data for Snapchat. Tell me in the comments, do you actually use Snapchat anymore? I have Snapchat on my phone for the sole purpose of sometimes my kids and I are bored and we'll pull up the filters and we will laugh our faces off, right? We don't actually share these out to anybody. We save them to the phone, right? And we might send them to like family members, like, hey, look at this funny picture. But legitimately, who actually is using Snapchat these days? Maybe I'm just too old. Maybe at 38, I am so out of touch with the kids, I don't understand what they're using. And maybe they're all over Snapchat. I don't know. But this is one that I don't think has the longevity, the legs that maybe others would, right? So taking a look at this, this is Snapchat on the AI trading data outlier. And you can see we actually got a sell signal on March 15th. We got a sell signal for Snapchat. And I mean, Snapchat has been pretty beat up over the years, right? We've seen some crests and valleys here. But overall, I mean, we're talking about an $11 stock, right? Whereas Meta is like a $300, $400 stock. I mean, that should tell you just on the share price in itself, how valuable people think Meta is compared to how valuable people think Snapchat is. And I don't think it's very much. In fact, let's take a look at the performance summary. So the historical results using Outlier actually has a 44.77% return on a stock that is like basically nobody wants to hold anymore. So that's pretty awesome. So be sure to head over to outlierdeal.com. You got about 2 weeks left on this lifetime deal where it's basically 99% off and it will never, ever be offered again. So if you want to get your hands on these AI trading signals, head on over to outlierdeal.com while you can. Now let's see what the internet has to say about
this episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
That's right. True Social parent company, Trump Media and Technology Group, to become a publicly traded company. The merger approval means TMTG, what is that? Trump Media and Technology Group, will trade on the NASDAQ as DJT, Donald J. Trump, which I think is hilarious, as early as next week. Wait, a little GIF right here. What's this GIF? That's young Trump. All right. Let's see what people have to say about this. Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I still don't know what that has to do with anything. Let's scroll down. What is this person? Why does he keep posting these like non-related things? This is like just that person over and over and over. Okay. Oh, Todd. Todd says, just something else that'll fit. Just something else that'll fit. Yeah. While Trump may eventually get $3 billion for it, it's most likely to be stock that he can't sell for months. We just covered that. He is most likely going to have a six-month lockup period, but the board can vote to eliminate that for him, especially when he's got $454 million he needs to come up with. It won't the asset seizures that are about to happen. I don't know. Go jump off a bridge. And subject to public scrutiny, of course. Foreign governments will love this backdoor into Trump's pocketbook. Okay, okay. That's an interesting way to look at it. Let's see. Let's take one more. Juiciest stock ever to short. Let me know in the comments. What do you think? Do you think the DJT stock will be a good investment? Or, like this person says, the juiciest stock ever to short? All right. We have major giant issues in California. So I want to give you a little history lesson. I actually used to work at State Farm Insurance when I was in college working on my MBA. I worked in a State Farm agent's office and it wasn't for me. It was a sales job, but I didn't know it, right? I thought I was just going to be handling, you know, like customer service stuff. It's like, just give me a job during the day while I'm working on my MBA at night. That was my thing. And very soon it became a, hey, Chris, why aren't you selling enough life insurance policies? Hey, Chris, how come you haven't sold any auto policies today? Hey, Chris, how come you haven't sold this or that policy? And I'm looking around like, when was I told this was supposed to be a sales job? Like, I'm just answering phones and trying to help people out during the day. I don't care. I don't care how many sales I make. Not my thing. I'm not a salesman. Deal with it. And I specifically remember we had this, because life insurance is probably the most lucrative thing, right? Because you pay on it for ages and ages and ages, and more than likely you stop paying on it at some point, so they don't have to pay it out, right? I remember we had this competition, and we had a poster board in the back. Like, this is an agent's office. They're all small businesses in the grand scheme of things. But I remember we had this poster board in the back, and it was me. Then it was Kadra. So the other people I worked with, there was me, then Kadra, then Joan and Sydney. And it was like, how many life insurances did you sell each day? And like, I went weeks, I'm telling you, weeks without selling a single thing. And I remember Joan one day, she called me out in like one of our weekly meetings. She's like, Chris hasn't sold anything for 3 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, and? It's not my thing. I'm answering phone calls all day, Jones. I'll let you sell all you want. I'm not interested in sleazing myself out to make some sales. I don't know. I've never enjoyed the sales process. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm much more of a, like, let's just hang out and have fun. And if you want to buy it, by all means, do it. Like with Outlay, right? I think it's the greatest thing in the world and you should totally buy it. But if you don't, it's no skin off my back because I'm using it every day. I hope you do too. But let's take a look at what State Farm, the company, right? Not an agent's office, but the company is having a major announcement, right? California Insurance Commissioner declares a crisis after major State Farm announcement. In fact, State Farm has moved its headquarters here to Texas. Everybody's moving their headquarters here to Texas. If you aren't moving here to Texas, what are you waiting for? Hurry up. California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara warned overregulation could push insurance companies like State Farm to abandon the state. Now, I got another story for you. I live in a nice house. Last year, I had the worst experience with Costco insurance. I didn't even know Costco had insurance. I was watching Tesla videos one day, and this person was talking about how they got their insurance from Costco. So I went to Costco's website and filled out all their information. I got my home insurance, my umbrella insurance, and my auto insurance through them. And it wasn't all that much cheaper, maybe $100 in the course of a year versus what I was paying before, but it was all in one place. And I was like, all right, this would be cool. So then, you know, a couple of weeks go by and they send an inspector out to come and look at my house. And then a couple of weeks later, I get a notice and I was like, hey, you have, you know, this much due for your home insurance. And I'm like, well, that's weird. It's like double what they said it was going to be. That was unexpected. So I go online and I'm like, sure enough, yeah, it's literally doubled in price. And so I call them on the phone. I'm like, why is this showing that it's doubled in price? Like, you quote and bound me last week. Why has this gone up? And they were like, well, our inspector came out and decided that you have a high value home. And because you have a high value home, that automatically causes the premium to go up. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, right? They did not change the coverage by one red cent. The coverage was exactly the same. Meaning, if my home burned down tomorrow, dear Lord, please don't let that happen. But if it burned down tomorrow, they would have paid exactly the same amount. Either way, if I had paid, you know, let's say $2,500 versus $5,000 for insurance, right? Either way, they're still going to pay the same amount. But they wanted to charge me twice as much. And I'm like, let me get this straight. Because I have a nice home, and that's the only reason, you are levying a nice home tax upon me in reality, because I'm not getting anything, no other benefit to this whatsoever. So I was like, I want you to know something. I am fortunate enough to where I have a YouTube audience. I will deride your company until the end of time. I said, you've made a mistake. Because I will make sure anybody who listens to the sound of my voice will know never to buy Costco insurance. So that's my public service warning to you. Don't buy Costco insurance because it'll make it go up. If you have a nice home, that is, right? But if you have a shit home, I guess they don't care. But if you have a nice home, they're like, oh yeah, we can charge you more. So yeah, either way, going back to this, I called up State Farm after that point and they actually told me, listen, we don't write home insurance for homes of your value. I'm like, whoa, that's a first. So this was in 2023, right? I don't know what's changed now, and I live in Texas. So that was a first. I've never gone to an insurance company and they said, nah, your home's just too fancy. We aren't going to cover it. Okay, that's unexpected. However, State Farm just screwed over the whole second most populous state in America, right? State Farm Insurance, or the California Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara, spoke out after the state's largest home insurance provider announced they would discontinue coverage for tens of thousands of policies this summer. State Farm announced on March 20th they would cut 72,000 home and apartment policies in California because of inflation, regulatory costs, and increasing risks from catastrophes. So basically they're saying, hear me out. We don't want to do our job anymore because it costs a little bit more than it used to. So we're just going to not do it anymore. We're going to go elsewhere. I mean, they're a private company. They can do whatever they want. But I don't know. That just felt real sketch to me, right? You know what? It costs far too much to do the job that we were already doing before, so we're just not going to do the job anymore. Yeah, I don't know. The commissioner saying this is a real crisis, right? The commissioner said he wants to investigate State Farm's finances, but warned that regulators can't go too far or else risk pushing companies out of California entirely. Insurance companies are not like utility companies. By law, they don't have to be here, and when we try to overregulate, we'll see what happened. After the Northridge earthquake, when the legislature came in and tried to overregulate, they no longer write earthquake insurance in California. Lara is spearheading effort to enact the largest insurance reform in more than 30 years. He's proposed new regulations intended to change the models that insurance companies use to assess risk from catastrophes like wildfires and earthquakes, which he claims will stabilize premium costs and expand coverage. I'll tell you one thing. I have the privilege to work with lots of financial institutions and do consulting with them. And I talked to one in Louisiana, and they were telling me that the insurance premium, just the insurance cost, is now costing more than the mortgages that they are giving to their customers, right? So if the customer is paying $1,000 a month in mortgage, maybe they're paying $1,200 a month in insurance. And it's just sick, right? The insurance cartel, that's what I call it. The insurance cartels, lots of companies, they actually went to Congress and said, hey, we need a 30% increase in prices. And Congress was like, yeah, whatever you want. Big insurance, we love you guys. Like, please take all the money from customers as you can. So having worked at insurance companies in the past and seeing what they're doing now, it just really, I don't know, gets under my skin. Like, they're There's some of the skeeziest people out there, just in general. Skeeziest companies, absolutely. And to see that they're just like up and leaving a state because like the cost of business to do business in that state is higher than it was before. I don't know. It feels like they are doing a disservice to their customers rather than doing the right thing for their shareholders. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I could be completely wrong. Let me know in the comments what you think. But let's take a look at MetLife, right? This is another stock. You can't trade State Farm. So let's take a look at MetLife. Maybe with all of these changes with State Farm, maybe this is an opportunity with MetLife. But I will tell you that we did get a sell signal on MetLife today, actually, March 25th. That was not on purpose. That was purely coincidental. A sell signal for MetLife today. And I don't know. Maybe that means MetLife as a company is also on their way out of California or other places. And maybe now's the time to get out of that company as well. Taking a look at the performance summary on here, you can see the outlier outshining buy and hold at 64.42%. So that's pretty awesome. So be sure to head over to outlierdeal.com while you can. We got 2 weeks left of this incredible lifetime deal, a basically 99% off for a lifetime license. So get it while you can. So let's take a look at what the internet has to say. Kevin Kiley's talking about Biden's disastrous economic playbook has already been fully implemented by Newsom in California. The result? We're worse than the nation unemployment, wage growth, cost of living and poverty, and crime. Like their crime is uncontrolled and outlandish. So that makes unlandish. But we do lead the nation in one thing, U-Haul rentals, people leaving the state. Record job growth, record low unemployment. What is this? No, you're wrong. Good grief, you are completely wrong. All facts, all these issues that they got going on there. And this person is clapping, saying that is some hot fire. They want to do America what they've done to cities for decades. Makes no sense whatsoever. Progressive socialist policies fail always. Just like State Farm, they're trying to destroy California one way or another. And people are up and moving and they're heading to Texas. But listen, you've probably seen the bumper stickers by now once you moved here. Don't California my Texas. You come to Texas, assimilate into Texas, make Texas a better place. Don't make Texas the next California. But do click one of these two videos that YouTube is showing you right there. The YouTube algorithm actually thinks that you're going to love them. So click that to watch more. And I'll see you on the next episode.